I'm really excited to start a new series this morning on this whole theme of come to worship. Come to worship. This morning, I want to break down and talk a little bit about lifting up your hands and blessing the Lord. I want to kind of talk from scripturally and talk a little bit about why we do that. But as we approach the Christmas season, I really want us to take time to focus on who Jesus is, on what he did for us, on the power of the virgin birth. And as we do, I believe that God is going to expand our hearts to know him more intimately because we have come to worship him. See, wise men still seek him. Wise men still seek him today. And that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and wise men and women still seek him today. God is pleased when our hearts are set on worshiping him, and so there's four postures of worship that we're going to deal with over the next 4 weeks. The first one today is to lift up your hands, to yada, to revere or worship, to extend your hands to give thanks to your God and to your Father. Next week, I want to talk about bringing your gifts to todah. It's the Hebrew word, todah, to extend your hands in thanksgiving offerings towards him. The other posture of worship that we see in Scripture that is brought out is to pour out our hearts, your heart towards him, which is tehillah. Praise, songs, hymns of praise, pouring out yourself all over God, kind of like the woman and that came in before the Jesus, broke her expensive vial of perfume and poured it over him, his feet, cried her tears, and washed his feet, and that we would just pour out over the Lord, not holding anything back, to tehillah him. Fourth is to bow on your knees, to barak, to kneel and bless God abundantly with honor and with praise. Our topic or our title today is taken directly, and that of come to worship is taken from Matthew chapter 2, verse 2. When the wise man came before King Herod, the scripture says, and that they asked, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw the star as it rose, and we have," what? What does it say? That phrase right behind me? "We have come to worship him." Can we say that together? We have. Let's try it one more time. We have. And that's why I believe and trust that you're here today too, is you've come like the wise men to worship him. What I love about this is that the wise men didn't come to get something from God, a blessing, a touch, or whatever, but they came to offer worship to him. Tragically, sometimes in this part of the world, in North America especially, Christianity has been reduced to some kind of formula where people actually believe that God exists for us. That if we do just the right thing, if we pray the right prayer, if we act the right way, then God's got to do whatever we want him to do. Can I just simply start once again by saying God is God, and he does whatever he pleases. He is in control. Now, when you begin to understand Scripture, you get to know who he is. So you get to know, oh, this is what he does. The more you get to know God, the more you spend time with him, the more you know that, oh, at this junction, God always turns right. Because this is the way to walk ye in it. Okay, well, I'm going to go right. And you get to know through Scripture, through his love letter to you, just how to move, how to breathe, how to walk. Sometimes people bring him into the fact that he's kind of like a genie. We rub him just right and poof. He's going to pop out and say, you've got 3 wishes today. And I'm here to serve you. What is your wish? Your wish is my command. Literally, sometimes he's been reduced to a cosmic vending machine. If you put your coin in, push a button, say a prayer, do your devotion, make a post off Instagram of your devotions with a cup of coffee so everyone thinks that you're really spiritual. Do something nice for someone. You don't yell when you're driving at someone else. Then God is going to answer your prayer because he exists to make your life better. The reality is, that's not why God exists. He doesn't exist for us, but we exist for him. We were created to glorify him. We were created to worship him, to make him known, to bring him honor. I'll be real honest. As a church, I believe that God is asking for more from all of us. He's asking for more. In fact, just as your pastor, I would say that there's a lot of things that we're doing really well here at Rockcliffe as a body of Christ. But quite honestly, I believe one of the greatest areas that we can prove is learning not just on the weekends, but 7 days a week, becoming a worshiper. See, worship isn't something that we do. A worshiper is who we are. We're created to worship God from the depths of our heart. And so for the next few weeks, what I want to do is really ask that God would build within each and every one of us a desire to know him intimately and to worship him passionately, not holding back. So we're going to take a look at 4 different postures. But this morning, I want to start by looking at the posture of lifting up our hands towards the Lord, towards a holy God, in a heart of worship as we give him praise. Now, some, maybe you didn't grow up around church, and that you kind of walked in and saw people maybe with their hands up worshiping, maybe today for the first time, or if you take a little bit back memory lane when your first time coming into church. And it looked kind of a little different. You know, you're looking and it almost feels awkward because it's almost like you're watching someone make out. You're kind of like, well, you know, like, you know it's real, but you know it's kind of awkward that you're watching it. And sometimes when we're looking around and we're seeing people lifting their hands, there's a little bit of that awkwardness. Almost feel like you shouldn't be watching. People are doing something. I can tell that it's real to them, but it seems awkward to me to watch. And so what I want to do is I want to explain why it is in Scripture that it teaches us to lift our hands to God. And what does it actually accomplish? Again, for those that have maybe not been regular church growers growing up, here's a video. It's kind of funny to look at. It's comedian Tim Hawkins, and he talks about lifting your hands. So if you'll pay attention behind me.
And I know that each church has its own worship style, you know, which is cool. Some people are more expressive in worship, some people more subtle, and it's all good. I go to a church that's pretty expressive in worship. It's a hand-raising church. That's what it is, right? That's what, you know. Anybody here go to a hand-raising church? Am I here? Sweet. Who here does not go to a hand-raising church? Some of you are trying. You're like, I can't. I want to, Tim. I need to get some momentum. Totally cool. But hey, if you're not used to going to a hand-raising church, you want to go and join us, feel free to join us, but don't feel like you got to join right in, okay? Start slow. We got a lot of different hand raises that we use. We actually have names for our hand raises. So I'm going to walk you through real quick, okay, what they are, just to let you know. Say you're my church, music is rocking. Start slow. Hands in the pockets, little elbow flap. You're fine. Very subtle. Get warmed up. Get your heart rate up. When you're warmed up, start with the first one. Ready? Carry the TV. Carry the TV. That's our first one. Very subtle. Go to big screen. Big screen, a little wider. Next one's my fish was this big. My fish was this big. If you're a liar, you can go out there. That's fine. Don't worry about it. Jesus loves you. Grace. Next one's hold my baby. Hold my baby. Got dueling light bulbs. That's our next one, dueling light bulbs. We got goalpost. Everybody knows goalpost. Throw in a heartburn. A lot of people like to do heartburn. Double heartburn, right back to goalpost. What's my favorite? Mufasa. Mufasa, that's my favorite.
The circle of life.
Tim, can you go higher? Yes, you can. You can take one hand, go a bunch of different stuff. Pointer, hatchet, schoolroom. Release the doves, give the Lord a high five. Press it out. A lot of women like to wash the window. Wash the window. And when you're comfortable there, go for the big three. Village people, Rocky, touchdown. There you go. There's your big three. You're set.
As I say, sometimes it can feel a little awkward watching on to things. And he brings a little humor to it all. But let's, on a serious note, let's try and pull back just for a second. And let me explain a little bit from Scripture. Let it come to life to us as we deepen our understanding of why it is we do something with our hands, as a reflection of what actually is in our hearts. For we know that we can do all the right things and yet still be wrong. Because God doesn't judge from the outside. He judges from the inside. And if the actions that we do are disconnected from our heart, they mean nothing. Because there's no magic in a hand going up. The real power and the real strength and the real awe is when our heart goes up towards Him. And He just can't help but express itself through the arm. Amen? Psalms 63 is where we'll start. Looking at verse 1 to 4, you'll see it behind. It might be a little hard to read, but I pray you have your Bibles with you so you can open them up and dig in. Then we're going to look at some other places in the Bible. This is where actually where David is in the wilderness. When he's at a very low point in his life, this is what he says. In verse 1, David cries out to God as a reflection of what many maybe here today are feeling in their hearts. He says, "You, God, are my God. Earnestly I seek you. I thirst for you. My whole being longs for you in a dry and parched land where there is no water." I wonder, maybe right now, how many here today are in a place in life that maybe reflects your current situation. It feels dry right now. You feel like you're in a desolate place. Maybe you feel sometimes alone and rejected. Or maybe afraid. I didn't think like life was going to turn out this way. I didn't think I'd be at this place in my life right now. I'm going into the holidays and it's supposed to be a really happy time. It's happy for so many, but it's not that happy for me right now. It's always interesting to me that the holidays, Christmas, is a magnifier. It makes the good really, really good. But it makes the hard times kind of really, really hard. See, David's in this moment and he cries out. He says, I need you, God. From the depths of my soul, I thirst for you. I long for you. I crave for you. There's nothing on the earth that satisfies me right now. I am desperate for you. Then in verse 2, he says, I've seen you in the sanctuary. I beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life. Think about that. The love of God is better than life. It's eternal. It's everlasting. It never fails. The life will never fade. This life, sorry, will fade away, but the love of God will never, ever go away. Your love is better than even living, he says. Therefore, my lips will glorify you. I can't stop it because your love is so good. I've got to proclaim your love. I've got to tell you I need you. I've got to tell you that I long for you because you're so powerful, because your love is something that I can't ever earn and I certainly don't deserve. I have to bring praise to your name. That's the expression coming out of David's heart in the tough moment of his life. In verse 4, he goes on to say, I will praise you as long as I live. Now remember, he's in a bad place right now. He's not going, I'm thanking you because things are good. He's simply saying, I'm thanking you because you are still good. Even though my circumstances are not. He says, I will praise you as long as I live. And then watch this in verse 4. He goes on to say, in your name. What will he do? He says, in your name, I will lift up my hands. In the midst of his toughest moment, when everything inside of him is being ripped apart because of the troubles and the problems that are weighing upon him, he says, I will lift up my hands. In your name, I will lift up my hands. This is an act of worship. At the age of 15, I've shared before, I had a major encounter that really changed my life forever. I grew up in a Christian home. As far as I remember, I think I was born on the front pew, and we were in church all the time. I saw the move of God. I saw all sorts of things taking place. I was in church every time the door was open. We were there. We were one of the last ones to leave. I was a part of all sorts of stuff. My mom would have me come. If she were at the altar, I'd come and I'd sit beside them until I got a little older. They'd let me sit on the pew, and then eventually I sat a little further back, and I came into this place where, you know, life was just, the life of the church was just my life. I was just doing it. I was walking it. I knew how to play church. I knew how to walk church. I knew what the things were to do. I knew when to say hallelujah and amen. I knew when to raise my hands. I knew all of those things. But at 15, and that I had this encounter with God that has shaken my life ever since. Now, see, not the only encounter I've had, but this was one of my first personal ones, where I was at a camp called Circle Square. Power of God just came upon me so heavy, the weight of God. I had just come out of a 2.5 dry period where I spent 2.5 years trying to be my older brother, because someone said, why can't you be as good as him? Now, I felt like 1,000 people said that to me. How many know that sometimes when the enemy he hits you just at the wrong time? Your kid comes to you and just says something to you as a mom, and your heart just goes, oh. Your wife or your husband say something, and your heart just, it feels like it just, like, it imploded on itself. Well, that's what had happened to me. So I'm coming off of this dry part. I'm calling out to God. Say, God, I'm so tired. I don't even know who I am anymore. God, like, where are you? What is going on? And the power of God came upon me so heavily, I felt like it was like this big, heavy, wet blanket that just laid upon me, and I just laid on the ground, and his very presence just soaked into me. I don't know, about two and a half hours, 3 hours, I don't even know what time, but it was a long period of time. At the end of that time, everyone is gone. Some of my friends, they hung around a little longer, but then after the while, they just, I wasn't responding to them. I wasn't anything else. They knew I was breathing. I was okay. They understood, okay, God must be doing something here. So they all went back to the bunkhouse. Coals are just about going out, and I'm laying there, and finally I start to get back up, and all I could do was go to my knees. As I was on my knees, I began just to put my hands up and to say thank you to my daddy. Because now I knew who he was. He gave me a glimpse of it. And then he also gave me a glimpse of who I am in him. And I couldn't help but put my hands up. It was a natural part of my heart expression just going to God, that I just couldn't help but do that and reach out to my daddy. And this encounter, this moment that I had with him, it just etched in my heart. And I remembered it so huge of what he was saying. I want to read a scripture from the New Testament. Paul's actually giving Timothy, a young and upcoming pastor, some instructions to help with the Christian worship. 1 Timothy 2:8. This is what Paul told the young Timothy. He said, therefore, I want the who? What does it say behind me? Or in your Bible, I want who? The men. I want the men everywhere to pray. I want the men everywhere not only to pray, but to lift up holy hands without anger or dispute. I want the men to lift up holy hands. Well, let me pause for a moment here. You see, sometimes in the Bible, in the older translations, it says, I want men or mankind. And that really means, when you go back to the Greek and the Hebrew, it means everybody. When it says, I want men, or I want mankind, it's talking everyone. It's gender inclusive. I want everyone to do that. But here, it actually means the men. It says, I want the men, not men. I want men. I want the men. It's interesting that Paul says this, that I want the men to do this. I don't know why for sure, and I really can't prove it, but I want to say, based off my experience, that sometimes men are often the last to do this. Maybe it's because of our pride. Maybe it's because it feels awkward. Or maybe it just feels like it's a girly thing to do for men. But for whatever reason, Paul says to Timothy about this act of worship, of Christian worship. Paul says, I want the men to lift up holy hands to God. I can only imagine why. If I was guessing, I would guess because Paul wants the men to set the standard of worship. Paul wants the men to be leaders in their family. Paul wants the children to see their fathers seeking the heart of God. You see, if you want your children to seek after God, then you need to be the one seeking after God yourself. I would just say maybe to the men of our church for a second here, if I can be very bold, and you can come and talk to me later, but I'm going to be bold anyways. Don't dare, men, don't dare let your wife out-worship you. Men, don't dare let your kids out-worship you. You lead the way. You be the worshiper in your home. You be the way, you be the one to lead your family to God. Set the tone, set the example by your worship unto your God. And if you're here today and maybe you don't feel like you really know him that well, well, today is a great day to start to get to know him. This is one of the acts or postures of worship that he speaks about and challenges us with. So now, why would God ask us to do this? Lift our hands before him. Why is it that God wants us to lift our hands? Again, I can't really prove, but I believe with all my heart that our God, our Heavenly Father, absolutely loves when his children lift their hands to worship him. I simply believe, number one, is that God just loves it. He just loves it when we lift our hands towards our daddy. I can just imagine the love of our Heavenly Father. There's no loving father on earth who would reject the outstretched hands of a child. Our Heavenly Father loves when we lift our hands towards him. When our hands move towards God, I believe his heart moves towards us. He loves when we lift our hands to worship him. In fact, in James 4, verse 8, he says this. James says, draw near to God, and he will do what? He will draw near to us. Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. Well, if there's ever a time in your life you feel like God is afar off, no, he's not really afar off. He sticks closer than a brother, the Word of God tells us. He says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. But how many know times in life, sometimes when I get off doing my own thing, it's not that God has turned far off. I've just turned away and he's behind me and I don't see him. Where is he? What's he going? What's going on? Turn around towards him. Draw close to him and he will draw close to you. So why do we do this? One is I believe that God loves it. It also can be as an act of an offering of praise that literally looks like we're giving money to the Lord kind of idea. Lifting up your hands can be an offering to God. In Psalms 104, 1-2, David again is in a low place in his life and he says, oh Lord, I am calling on you. Please hurry. Listen when I cry to you for help. Accept my prayer as an incense offering to you, and my upraised hands as an evening offering to you. I love this. I'm praying and accepting that as an offering, and that I love you, I need you. Accept my upraised hands as an evening offering to you. Some of you today, maybe this is going to be the first time ever that you've lifted your hands in worship towards the Lord and giving him an offering in that way. It might feel a little bit awkward at first. It may feel like you're kind of pushing yourself out of your spiritual comfort zone. But you just lift them up anyways and say, God, I'm offering my heart to you. I'm offering my praise to you. You may not even feel like praising God, but shout out anyways. Declare out, speak out anyways. I'm offering praise to you anyways. Not because of what I see, but just simply because of who you are. So why we lift up our hands? We lift up our hands because God loves it. We lift up our hands to him because it's an offering of praise to our God. We lift up our hands because we're reaching out to him as he draws close near to you. And that, as we drew near to him, he draws near to you. Another reason why we lift up our hands to God is because we're declaring battle. How many know worship is also battle? There's things in the spiritual realm that are taking place when you begin to worship. You begin to declare, God, you're great. You're doing battle in the spiritual realm. When you declare Jesus in your worship, you're doing battle. How many know that the name Jesus is spoken a lot around the country, and it has nothing to do about lifting him up at all? In fact, it's just putting him down in the mud. Now, our fight's not against... Okay, thank you, Christina. Our fight's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, strongholds, the enemy, and that as he comes. And as we begin to lift up Jesus, the Bible says all men will be drawn to him. And when we worship, we're declaring battle. We need God's help. Some of you right now, maybe you're in a place and you're in a real battle. Decisions, questions in your mind, in your heart, racing around you, in your marriage, in your family. You're in the middle of a battle. I mean, a real one. Maybe a dark place and you just need help. If things don't change, you don't know what you're going to do. I want to encourage you, just begin to lift your hands and do battle. Lift them up to God and begin to say, I'm declaring battle. I'm declaring battle. I need the help of my almighty, all-powerful God to do battle with me, to do battle for me. I'm declaring battle with my lifted hands in Jesus' name. In fact, I want to give you the best example of this in Scripture. It's in the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 17. The Amalekites were attacking the Israelites. And so Moses said to Joshua, hey, Joshua, choose some men. We're going to go to battle. They've declared war against us, and we're going to push them back. So Moses says, tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the mountain, and I'll lift my hands to God, and I will pray to him. So here's what the scripture says in verse 10 and 11. So Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered, and Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. As long as Moses did what? Long as he held his hands up, what happened? The Israelites were winning. But whenever he did what? Lowered his hands, what happened? Who was winning? The Amalekites, they were winning. Every time he had his hands up, they were winning. Every time his hands went down, they began to lose. Winning, losing. Winning, losing. Tying. Halfway, maybe. You see, when our arms are lifted up, acknowledging the sovereignty, the sovereign power of God, God's people win. But when our arms were no longer up, acknowledging the power of God, God's people started to lose. So here's the reality. Some of you right now, you're in a battle and it feels like you might be losing. Well, it might be time for you to lift your hands and say, God, I trust you no matter what. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. To lift up your hands and say, on my own, I don't have the ability to get this done, but I seek you. I lift my hands and I praise you because you can do all things. I lift my hands declaring the battle is yours, God. 2 Chronicles 2:15. And I trust you. I lift my hands, God, and I declare that by faith, I believe you are fighting for me and you are with me. 2 Corinthians 5:7. And greater is the one who is in me than the one who is in the world. 1 John 4:4. That no weapon formed against me, I lift my hands and declare no weapon formed against me will prosper. In Isaiah 54, verse 17. But God is for me, Romans 8:31. And his plans are to bless me, Jeremiah 29:11-13. I lift my hands to my God because I trust him. No matter what comes against me, nothing can take me from his love. Nothing can thwart his will for my life. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, my wife and I have had a discussion and she's asked questions of me and challenged as we've walked through things, and that for us leaving Sioux Lookout, and that we had a beautiful home and, you know, just a great place where God just was taking care of us and blessing. We heard God's voice. We came to Owen Sound. We came to Rockcliffe because this is where God has asked us to come. But in coming, the market dropped in Sioux Lookout. We lost everything and our shirt. And my wife, you know, at one point in question, and we got talking, she says, like, what is God thinking? God, doesn't he know what we were trying to do to pay off a home so we could give to missions and bless people and do this? Like, what's going on? Like, that doesn't make any sense. And I said, well, can you give me a scripture and verse for that, please? You see, somewhere in our North American Christianity, we actually believe that God exists for us. When God asks you to do something, can I simply tell you, it will not always be comfortable. In fact, if it's comfortable and it's easy and you can do it, can I be bold enough to say that maybe it just really wasn't God talking to you in that place? See, when God asks something, it's going to cost you. Now, it might not cost you financially. It might cost you in a relationship that all of a sudden God says, this is the way I want you to walk in, and now you lose a friend. And all of a sudden you turn to Jesus and you love on him, and now all of a sudden a family member now it becomes estranged and they don't want anything because you're weird and crazy. We gotta read the Bible again. Because it is very clear on this walk with a Christian walk. It's not peachy creamy. It costs us everything. So I pray that you've got your eyes fixed on the right thing, because he's the only worthy prize. As we adore him and we love on him and we give him praise. It's interesting in verse 12 of Exodus 17, when Moses' hands grew tired and weary, and that he couldn't hold him up after a few hours on end, and he got tired, he got weary. In verse 12, it says, when Moses' hands grew tired, they took a stone, they put it underneath him so he could sit down. And he sat on it. Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side, one on the other, so that the hands remained steady until sunset. So Joshua overcame the Amalekite army with the sword. I've been bold a little bit today, so I'm going to be bold again. Tony, would you stand for a moment? Pastor Nathan's not here right now. He's in teaching Sunday school right now. But I want to declare out loud for a moment here that Tony and Nathan have been like Aaron and Hur to me. See, when they see me starting to lose faith, what do these guys do? They hold my hands up. When I get tired, they pray with me. They pray for me. When I'm discouraged, they're there for me. Two men of God, two brothers, never leave my side, who have helped me to hold up my arms, to continually to seek God and his wisdom and his direction. They've stood by my side when others don't believe. What I say might be true. They believe the best when they could have believed the worst. Who stood there and they continue to hold my arms up in battle. And I simply want to say an echo to Pastor Nathan, who's outside, and to you, Tony, thank you. Thank you for that. And that each one of us could do the same. Sit down, Tony. Each one of us could do the same. I pray you can answer, you could say, if someone, hey, who's your Aaron and Hur? That every one of us here would have a couple people. If you don't, I love jingles. You know, little sayings with stuff. The yellow pages, just let your fingers do the walking through the phone directory and start to build a relationship with people in the church. God's put you here for a reason. It's time to let the walls come down and open yourself up and begin to make friendships, right? David, he echoes out. He says, if you want a friend, you need to be a friend, right? What we sow, we reap. If we sow good into friendship, we reap good out of friendship. Amen? So I encourage you, let your fingers do the walking and build that relationship. Not only will we hold up our arms, but that's really why we worship together. We worship together We come together because church matters. Because we don't just worship God by ourselves. We worship him as the body of Christ. Because we don't just worship God and that just on our own, but corporately we stand leaning on each other, lifting up our arms and saying together, we're going to seek God. Together, we're going to press into him. Together, and that we can't hold maybe our own arms up all the time, but I want to be there to help hold up yours. I want to be the Aaron. I want to be the her. And I need you also to be that for me. Some of you might be in a battle right now. But it's time to declare, God, I need you. Think about this. Through history, we've uplifted hands means two things in history. Primarily, number one means victory. Yeah, we won victory. Your sporting event, listen to me. Maybe some aren't very religious here, but when they get in a sporting event, everyone goes religious. Yeah, you know, they get all excited and their arms go up in the air. When their team is winning, yes, block that shot, little heartburn, block that shot. Secondly, what does it mean? Someone puts a gun to you. What do? You surrender. It means victory, and it means surrender. So guess what? In the presence of God, it means both simultaneously. At the moment you surrender to him, you find victory in him. The moment you surrender to him, you find victory in him. Let's pray. Ashley, I'm going to ask if you just come this time. Father, Daddy, Abba, thank you for a church, Lord, that is open to lifting our hands to you, to adore you, to surrender, to declare victory, because you fight our battles for us. As we reach towards heaven, God, I know heaven reaches to us. Just then ask, you know what, it might feel awkward, just begin to lift your hands towards him. Just lift your hands up towards him. It's an act of worship from your spirit, not from your flesh, but from your spirit. So all over, let's just begin to lift our hands as I continue to pray. Yes, Lord. Lord, we reach to heaven, God. And I know you're reaching towards us. You're drawing near to us even now as I speak. Would you whisper into the hearts of each and every one? Draw near to us, God. Lord, as we draw near to you, may you be pleased with the worship of your church, both corporately, Lord, and us as individuals. Would you be pleased with it, Lord? May our hearts turn towards you. God, I pray specifically for those who are worshiping through a battle right now. Oh God, Lord, may they sense, Lord, your victory. Lord, may they sense your wisdom and guidance. May they sense an Aaron and her coming beside them, Lord. Would you send your angels to guard around them, Lord? God, I pray that there would be other brothers and sisters that would lift their hands. Give them the strength to continue to seek you, to depend on you. God, we surrender our hearts once again to you. We lift our hands as an act of worship, as an offering, as an act of praise, as a cry of battle. Be pleased, O God, as we draw near to you, and thank you that you draw near to us. With every eye closed, you could just lower your hands for a moment. I just feel that deep calling inside of me that I can't get away from. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, when he's knocking at the door and you're sensing him speaking to you, this, whoa, this hand thing is weird. But you know, oh man, something about this drawing close, I really want to seek. I want to know him. You see, God wants you to know him and be known by him. If you're here today and God's speaking to your heart and you want to give your heart towards the Lord, I want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here today and you've kind of walked away from him for a time period and he's calling you back right now and you're like, yeah, I just want to recommit again. You know, because I just want all those lies of yesterday. I want those things that the enemy plays with my head. I just want them to cease right now. So I'm just going to rededicate my life again to him. If you're here today, would you just slip your hand up? I want to pray with you. Okay? You can put your hand down. Anyone else? Okay? Okay? Anyone else? You can put your hand down. Is there anyone else? Can we stand together as a body? And we're all going to say a prayer together with these ones that have just lifted their hands. And we're going to say a prayer together, and then we're going to close with a song. It's one everyone knows. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We're going to give you an opportunity to practice lifting your hands before your God and giving him praise. So let's pray. Everyone pray aloud with me. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Make me brand new. I lift my hands and surrender my heart to Jesus as my Savior and the Lord of my life. My life is not my own. Today I give it to you. Thank you for new life. I give you mine. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's sing this song together as we close. Thank you, Jesus. Begin to use your own words and begin to lift it to him. Let's join together, lifting our hands towards our King. Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul. Worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul. Worship your holy name. Oh, let's sing verse 1 together. Oh, the sun comes up. It's a new, oh, brand new day for some people today, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
It's time to sing your songs again. Whatever may come and whatever lies before me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Let me be singing when the evening comes.
Oh, tell your soul to bless him. We bless you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Lord.
My soul,
worship his holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul,
Lord, I worship your holy name. Verse 3.
And on that day,
when my strength is failing, Aaron and Hur, they come along.
The end draws near, and my time has come. Oh, still my soul will sing your praise unending.
Yes, Lord.
10,000 years
with my life, Lord, I worship you forevermore. One last time. time, let's declare, bless the Lord, O my soul.
Oh, my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before, oh, my soul,
Lord, I worship your holy name. Oh, I worship
your holy name.
Yes, I worship your holy name. Oh, Lord, Pastor Nathan, and that he heard in his spirit and declared out, Lord, that this year is going to be a new day. It's going to be a newness that's going to come out of it, Lord. And I believe with that, God, Lord, that yesterday is gone, today has begun. Lord, I pray worship will never be the same again here at Rockcliffe, because, Lord, it will never be absent from our heart connecting. God, thank you for these great people that love you. Thank you for these people that adore you. And together, Lord, may we exalt you so high and shout from the mountains how great you are, that everyone in Owen Sound, everyone in Owen Sound would come to a moment where they will kneel before you. Not just one day when we all will have to, but everyone will have that moment to be able to kneel before you and declare you as their king. You as the lover of their soul. You as the pursuer of them. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for the honor and privilege it is to be called a part of your body. Bless each and every one, I pray. Overtake them, overshadow them with your presence, Lord. That everywhere they go, when they walk into a room, when they walk in at work, when they walk at home, when they go into the restaurant, everything would change, the whole atmosphere, just because Jesus is inside of them. Lord, we give you praise and honor. And tonight, as we come back again at 6 o'clock, Lord, to pray together, to exalt, to lift. Lord, we just thank you. Nothing moves without prayer. Nothing moves without talking to you and hearing your voice. So Jesus, I pray, God, that you would just stir in the hearts of each and every one of us to be a part of calling out together corporately for you and your presence to flow in and out of our lives freely. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. We love you. God bless you. Know that your Father loves you dearly. Hallelujah.